Turn your Bibles with me to 2 Samuel. Chapter 17. I read a portion of this scripture to you. Moreover, Ahithophel said unto Absalom, let me now choose out 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue after David this night. I will come upon him while he is weary and weak handed, and will make him afraid, and all the people that are with him shall flee. I will smite the king only, and I will bring back all the people unto thee. The man whom thou seekest is as if all return. So all the people shall be in peace. And the sin pleased Absalom well, and all the elders of Israel. Then said Absalom, call now Hushai, the Archite also, and let us hear likewise what he saith. And then Hushai was come to Absalom. Absalom spake unto him, saying, Ahithophel hath spoken after this manner. Shall we do after his saying? If not, speak thou. And Hushai said unto Absalom, the counsel that Ahithophel have given is not good at this time. For, said Hushai, thou knowest thy father and his men, that they be mighty men, and they be shafted in their minds as a bear robbed of her whelps in the field. And thy father is a man of war, and will not lodge with the people. Behold, he is hid now in some pit or some other place, and it will come to pass when some of them be overthrown at the first, that whosoever heareth it will say, there is a slaughter among the people that follow Absalom. He also that is valiant, whose heart is as the heart of a lion, shall utterly melt. For all Israel knoweth that your father is a mighty man, and they which be with him are valiant men. Therefore I counsel that all Israel be generally gathered, even to Beersheba, as the sand that is by the sea for multitude, and that thou go to battle in thine own person, so shall we come upon him in some place where he shall be found, and we will light upon him as the dew falleth on the ground, and on him and on all the men that are with him there shall not be left so much as one. Moreover, if he be gotten into the city, then shall all Israel bring ropes to the city, and we will draw it unto the river until there be not one small stone found there. This is a portion of the text that I'll be sharing with you this morning. The title of the message this morning is The Turning Point. The Turning Point. Message number 23. Now, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 1 says, moreover, Ahithophel said to Absalom, let me now choose out 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue after David this night. Now, there are many Bible characters in the Old Testament that we are called to emulate. For instance, there's Enoch, there's Noah, there's Abraham, and many others we are called to emulate. There are also some whose examples we are not to follow. The Bible tells us that the Israelites hardened their hearts in the wilderness. We are warned by our Savior in Luke 17, verse 32, to remember Lot's wife. Lot's wife could not resist the life of Sodom. She looked back and she became a pillar of salt. There are some examples you and I should not follow. In 2 Samuel 17, we also see two figures that we should not imitate. Ahithophel has the legacy of being the Old Testament counterpart to Judas, who betrayed his Lord and suffered in a similar manner. David spoke of Ahithophel in Psalm 41, verse 9, saying, "Yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, have lifted up his heel against me." Judas fulfilled this prophecy. Just like Judas, Ahithophel had a reason to turn against David. He resented David after his sin with his granddaughter, Bathsheba. To further complicate the matter, Solomon, and not Absalom, became the apparent successor to David. Ahithophel has a grudge. God forgive David of his sin, but Ahithophel did not. He could not forgive. He couldn't find place in his heart to forgive the king. David's sin was not Ahithophel's problem. He should have been faithful to his calling. And sometimes we take people's sin to be our problem. But in our message, we see how far bitterness and resentment can carry a person. 2 Samuel 7 shows how these events brought a turning point in David's favor after the surprise revolt of Absalom, his son. Chapter 16, you may remember, concluded with two of David's former servants deployed in the courts of Absalom, who had taken over the palace. Just to give you an idea, the two friends of David was the former counselor Ahithophel, the traitor, who now is in cahoots with Absalom. The other is Hushai, David's loyal friend. The two are in David's palace. Hushai was sent back to Jerusalem for the express purpose of providing David with military intelligence. Ahithophel didn't know this. I'm bringing you up to speed. Back in 2 Samuel 15, 32, through 35, Hushai was given instructions by his master David. Let's look back at two pages behind. We read, "Now it happened when David had come to the top of the mountain where he worshiped God, there was Hushai the Archite coming to meet him with his robe torn and dust on his head. And David said to him, 'If you now go with me, then you will be a burden to me. But if you return to the city and say to Absalom, I will be your servant, O king, as I was your father's servant previously, so I will now also be your servant. Then you may defeat the counsel of Ahithophel for me." You see why he sent back? He's a friend. He's a loyal friend. He's a picture of the believer. These were instructions given to David's friend. He was to return to Jerusalem as a decoy, so to speak, to defeat the purposes of Absalom and Ahithophel. Now we're in chapter 17. We will see how Hushai defeated the purposes of these men. Look with me first at my first heading, the counsel of a fool, verses 1 through 4. We've read this portion already. Verses 1 through 4 is the counsel of a fool. Verse 2 says, "And I will come up upon him while he is weary and weak-handed, and will make him afraid, and all the people that are with him shall flee. And I will smite the king only, and I will bring back all the people unto thee. The man whom thou seekest is as if all return. So all the people shall be in peace." Now Ahithophel was a shrewd man. He was a wise man from the perspective of the world. But he was a spiritual fool. His counsel was for him to select 12,000 men from the tribes of all Israel and carry out a late night raid on David while he was weary and faint in the wilderness. He forgot something. He forgot that David is a seasoned warrior. His plan was that this would cause David's followers to scatter. Ahithophel reminds us of the words of the prophet, "Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered." He says in verse 3, "And I will bring back all the people unto you. The man whom you are seeking is as if all return. So the people shall be in peace." You see, Ahithophel's counsel gave him all the attention and all the glory. And we should mark this. "Let me now choose. I will arise and pursue the king. I will smite the king only. I will bring back the people to you." Sounds familiar, right? Ahithophel's counsel is a fool's counsel. God is not in his words or his plans at all. He forgot that David is a seasoned warrior. But the scripture says that every way of a fool is right in his own eyes. What is most appalling in the text is that we are told in verse 4, "And the saying pleased Absalom well and all the elders of Israel." Both Absalom and the elders of Israel were pleased with the foolish counsel given by Ahithophel to sneak up on David and wrest the kingdom away from him. Sounds ridiculous? Well, it is. This is anarchy of the highest order and reminds us of the messianic psalm in Psalm 2. "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things?" The psalmist says, "The kings of the earth set themselves And the rulers take counsel against the Lord and his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Now this drama, by the way, that is being played out before us here in the Old Testament was repeated many years after in the scribes and the Pharisees, the apostate church in the Lord's days. In Mark 14 verses 10 and 11, we are told that Judas, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray him to them. And when they heard, they were glad and promised to give him money. So he sought how he might conveniently betray Jesus. What you're seeing here was played out again in history when Christ was betrayed. The elders of Israel were glad when Judas came to betray Jesus. They were so blind that they could not see the great danger in their antagonism against God. And this is what Ahithophel is doing. My friend, let not this be you and me, because love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Maybe you have colleagues at work or at school. They do not mean well to your soul. They may be giving you foolish advice. Do you receive that advice gladly? I don't know. Do you listen to the counsel of the ungodly, as we're told in the first Psalm? Is it pleasing to you when you receive advice from your peers to disrespect your parents, to move from under their leadership, to go on your own? Do you listen to that? Well, that's a fool's counsel. No counsel that undermines the Lord and his church is good counsel. In principle, this is what Ahithophel did. The second head we come to quickly is the advice of a faithful friend. And this is a long portion of scripture that we would not be able to mention all of these verses, 5 to 14. But I read to you verses 5 and 6. Then said Absalom, call now Hushai, the Archite. Notice, he didn't say call Hushai, the friend of David. And let us hear likewise what he saith. And when Hushai was come to Absalom, Absalom spake unto him, saying, Ahithophel have spoken after this manner. Shall we do after his saying? If not, speak up. Now Absalom's decision to call David's friend was not out of his own mind. God is at work to thwart the evil plot of these ones. God knows the thoughts of men, and they are foolishness to him. God catches the wise in their own craftiness, the Bible says. Absalom rehearses the counsel of Ahithophel to David's friend Hushai. Hushai flatly opposed his counsel and neutralizes Ahithophel. Notice verse 7. And Hushai said unto Absalom, the counsel that Ahithophel hath given is not good at this time. Now this is wisdom, brethren. He did not show any resentment. He said the counsel given is not good at this time. Ahithophel's counsel in the past was foolish. You may remember Back in the previous chapter, he counseled Absalom to lie with David's concubines in the open air. We explained that the last time. It was to demoralize David and to show that he had taken over the palace. Here, Hushai flatly denounces his counsel. And this is the reason why David sent this man back there in Absalom's courts. Much is at stake here, brethren. God will preserve his kingdom. He will preserve his people. Whatever follows depends on David's friend, historically speaking. It's a powerful lesson. And if the kingdom was dependent on me and you, if the church and the survival of the church depended on your faithfulness, can God trust you? I ask. Much is at stake with this Hushai guy. You know, men throughout time have tried to annihilate the church, even now, and have not succeeded. This coronavirus that we have seen over the year is a test, a great test. Notice some ways how Hushai neutralized Ahithophel's counsel to Absalom. First, he showed him the great risk he was taking with David. Verse 8. He said, "You know your father and his men, that they are mighty men, that are enraged in their minds like a bear robbed of her cubs in the field. And your father is a man of war, and will not camp with the people as you're saying." He's showing Absalom the risk that he's taking. What Hushai is saying to Absalom is, are you ready to go against this warrior and his men who are seasoned veterans? Are you ready for this? Hushai is instilling fear in Absalom. You know, many times war is a psychological battle. Battles are lost or won with the mindset we create in men. And it's the same thing in the Christian life. Second, Hushai pointed out many uncertainties in capturing David. Listen to verses 9 and 10. "Behold, he's hidden now in some pit, or in some other place. And it will come to pass when some of them be overthrown at the first, that whosoever heareth it will say, there's a slaughter among the people that follow Absalom. And he also is valiant, whose heart is the heart of a lion, shall utterly melt, for all Israel know that your father is a mighty man, and they which be with him are valiant men, mighty men." Hushai very wittingly is pointing out many uncertainties in capturing David. It's all psychological. But third, Hushai, in his counsel, convinced Absalom to go to the battle in person. Notice verse 11. "Therefore, I counsel that all Israel be generally gathered unto thee from Dan even to Beersheba, the north to the south, as the sand that is by the sea for multitude, and that you go to battle in your own person." Well, notice the strategy, brethren. You may not know, but instead of Ahithophel leading the battle, with a mere 12,000 men. Hushai's advice to Absalom was to take all the men of Israel and be their leader. You see, Hushai knew the character, the ego of Absalom, and how he wanted the glory. So he took the power and pomp away from Ahithophel and gave it to Absalom, who would appear to be triumphant in this battle. He's setting up Absalom to be the defeated warrior. I wonder if they're told. Listen to verse 14. Let's drop down here. So Absalom and all the men of Israel said, "The advice of Hushai the Archite is better than the advice of Ahithophel. For the Lord had purposed to defeat the good advice of Ahithophel to the intent that the Lord might bring disaster on Absalom." What a sad picture. This is the watershed verse in the context, the turning point of the context. The advice of David's friend Hushai was designed to bring an end to both Absalom and Ahithophel. Now, this is the Lord's doings, brethren. Now, we have looked at a fool's counsel, Ahithophel. Second, we saw the advice of Hushai, David's loyal friend, come to our last heading, briefing of David the king. David was brief. We call a briefing today an update. An update of intelligence, a warning, so to speak, of something forthcoming. Hushai apprised David's servants, Zadok and Abiathar, the priests, who were on the intelligence team. I trust that you have been following. We read in verses 15 and 16 of this text. Then said Hushai unto Zadok and Abiathar, the priests, "Thus and thus did Ahithophel counsel Absalom and the elders of Israel, and thus have I counseled. Now therefore send quickly and tell David, saying, lodge not or stay not this night in the plains of the wilderness, but speedily pass over, lest the king be swallowed up and all the people that are with him." This is the advice. Don't stick around. Leave the place. The enemy is in pursuit. The verse in Proverbs 22, verse 3, that says this: "A prudent man foresees the evil and he hides himself, but the simple passes on and are punished." Hushai is fulfilling the purpose for which he was sent. He was to forewarn David of forthcoming danger. There was also the prudence in this context, which we should not read, of a wise woman who hid two messengers in a well that were being sent to David with this news. If you read on, you will see this. I'll read verse 19 and 20. "Then the woman took and spread a covering over the well's mouth and spread ground grain on it, and the thing was not known. When Absalom's servants came to the woman at the house, they said, 'Where is Ahimeaz and Jonathan?' So the woman said to them, 'They have gone over the water brook.' When they had searched, could not find them, they returned to Jerusalem." Quite reminiscent of what Rahab did to the spies, as she hid them from the king of Jericho in her faith. And this here is a manifestation of faith that David would win this battle. This quick action of this woman not only frustrated Absalom and his servants, but enabled David to get across the Jordan River. Verse 22. Let me read it to you. Let me read it in verse 22 of chapter 17. Then David arose and all the people that were with him, and they passed over Jordan by the morning light. There lacked not one of them that was not gone over Jordan. You see, if they had stayed in the wilderness in the dark, in the night, you know what would have happened. But this information, this intelligence brought, was able to help David escape over the river, the Jordan River. David and all of his people arose and crossed. And when Ahithophel, verse 23, we read, when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass and arose and got him home to his house, to his city, put his household in order, hanged himself, and died and was buried in the sepulcher of his father. Brethren, this is the end of the wicked. Proverbs 26, 27 reminds us, whosoever diggeth a pit shall fall into the pit themselves. Remember Naaman? He built a gallows. Guess who was hung on that gallows? The plot of the scribes and the Pharisees against the Lord Jesus. Always remember, brethren, he that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him. When men in their wickedness dig a pit for others, they may end up in that pit. Today we rephrase this saying, and it's not a bad saying, but we rephrase it saying, what goes around comes around. Always remember that. Golden rule should be practiced. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And this is to the church. We should respect authority, all levels of authority, instead of rebelling against authority. So we find that Hushai's mission was accomplished. He did what his master asked him to do. He actually saved the day for his Lord, historically speaking. He apprised. He briefed David of the danger forthcoming. Have I not been briefing you of the danger you face in remaining in unbelief? If I am a friend, I will speak to you about your unfaithfulness. You're facing a risk with the Lord Jesus. We must seek to do good to our neighbor all the time, like this guy that we just considered. I'll speak about him some more in my application. He did what his master required of him. God did the rest. And there was more to come. God works through the obedience of his servants. And we are called to walk by faith and not by sight. Now, this information that I've shared with you this morning is historical. But it is more than historical. There are some insightful lessons for me and you. One is the danger of resentment. Ahithophel nurtured resentment for David because of David's sin with Bathsheba. his relative. You and I must left vengeance to God. You and I must let God deal with the sins of others. Many people have wronged me. Let God deal with that. That's not my business. Ahithophel sided with the rebel son of Absalom, who was relentless in taking down an ordained king. And many in the church would side with people who are going contrary to God. It has happened here before. Many have left this church because they didn't know and they sided with sin. You don't know everything. You don't know the whole matter. Be warned. History is being repeated. Resentment is dangerous. The key player in history throughout time is not man, but Almighty God. The religious leaders in the days of Jesus played right into the hands of God. As a matter of fact, Peter said that you by wicked hands have taken and killed, but God had preordained this. Another message seen in our narrative is the sovereign hand of God once again. Absalom did not follow the counsel of Hushai, David's friend, because he came to his senses. It was God's purpose, according to verse 14, to bring Absalom and Ahithophel's wicked devices to an end. Sometimes we listen to song advice and we feel it is us. We take credit. No, no, it's not. So Absalom and all the men of Israel said, the advice of Hushai the Archite is better than the advice of Ahithophel. For the Lord had purpose to defeat the good advice, good in his eyes, of Ahithophel, to the intent that the Lord might bring disaster. When Absalom died, David wept, he cried. This was the will of God. We lose loved ones, and God forbid, we lose loved ones because God brought judgment upon them, and it has happened. Bring a halt to their lives. Ahithophel's counsel was rejected by Absalom in preference for Abishai, for Hushai. God turned the tables in favor of David, as I was saying to you men yesterday, because David was trusting his God. Wait upon the Lord. At times, men in their evil ways play right into the hands of the sovereign creator. You know, David said so wonderfully in Psalm 37, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land. Feed on his faithfulness. Of course, the land that he's speaking of is the eternal land to come, the new heaven, the new earth. Brethren, maybe you are moving away from the direction that God has given in your life. Maybe you're moving away from this. Maybe you're kicking against the pricks. God in his sovereignty may have brought you under the counsel of his word. And there's a twofold reason why you're hearing the word. We can't fight against God. We can't win in our fight against the gospel. Another act of sovereignty is seen in this unknown woman. who had the messengers carrying information to David to tell him to flee. But God's sovereignty never negates man's responsibility. Well, we see this with Hushai. David was warned. We are to warn those in the church of impending danger and what they face if they do not flee this wilderness. They must flee across the Jordan, just as David did. It's not Absalom that is in our pursuit. He's dead and gone. It's the church that is on our trail. We must cross that Jordan. You know, that's a picture of the cross. It's a picture of hell. We must be warned. God sent messengers, Hushai, preachers. Get out, get out. I hope you understand this message. It's not history that I'm so interested in. I'm interested in the message to show you. So many of us are indifferent to the warnings of God. We're concerned. Can't win. As big as David was, and as important as he was, he had to listen to the warning. Get across that Jordan. God is sovereign. And God's sovereignty never negates your responsibility to be faithful, to exercise every means of grace if you're going to be saved. Can't win. And you and I, as Christians, ought to warn those in the church of the impending danger they're facing if they do not flee from the wrath to come. Oh yes, we talk. We talk to our peers. But how many of us warn our peers about wrath? I told the man yesterday, if you notice our church, you will find that birds of a feather flock together. You can take what I mean if you're wise. In here, be careful that you don't have blood on your hands for not warning the unsaved in the community of the saints. Hushai is a good man. Picture of a believer. We'll get to him in a minute. Wilderness is not a safe place to hide. You'll be exposed to the chill and the frost, as Ronald says, and the heat, and eventually the sword. David was camping out there. We had to leave. Don't think that God has left us behind because of a decree by the government. God sent us back here. That's why he kept me back behind. And that's why you have to be satisfied with the will of God. God changes in his sovereignty and rearranges the counsels of men according to his will. I learned a lot from being locked down in Barbados. I'm hardened now. Anything can happen. I've grown accustomed to the sovereignty of God. You ain't going nowhere for the next 4 Sundays. I like what commentator Dale Ralph Davis said about this text. He says this, And I quote, not only does God's sovereign power work to deliver his people and bless their seemingly hopeless labors with success, speaking about Hushai, he also sovereignly acts to strike down those who are bent on evil. You should just look back. God has a way of taking out people, strike them down at a youthful age. This man died in the prime of his life, which we will see. We've seen in what God did with wicked Ahithophel as he responded to Absalom's failure to take his advice. Yeah, himself. These are insightful lessons in the context. One, the danger of resentment, holding resentment towards people that wrong you. Second, the sovereign hand of the Creator in frustrating our plans. But lastly, the value of true friendship. Whenever we read of Hushai, he is called David's friend. I wonder about that. He truly acted as a friend. Having received an assignment from David back in chapter 15, David says, don't follow me, you'll be a burden to me. This is what I want you to do. I want you to go back and let me know what my son and Ahithophel is planning. It's a good assignment. Hushai did what he was told. Historically speaking, as I said, he saved the day for the king and his men. Historically. We have seen many individuals in this narrative that are pictures of what a believer is. The Lord Jesus said in John 15:14, you are my friends if you do what I command you. Hushai did what David commanded him to do. Today, many want to be the friend of the Lord Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. And are doing the very things that Jesus commands them not to do. Commands us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. He commands us to love the brethren. A lot of us want to be his friend, but we find it hard to do what he asks us to do. And I say to you, my dear friend, you need to stop kidding yourself. You need to stop kidding yourself. Many today are not even trying to do what the Lord has commanded them. You know why? Whenever there's a will, there's a way. They ain't even trying. We can single out many individuals in this narrative who were friends. We saw Ittai. We look at him next study. Now we see Hushai. David had a few loyal friends, and Christians are to be loyal to Christ and the brethren. No, what kind of friend would I be to you if I fail to warn you of what is forthcoming if you remain in unbelief? Well, what kind of pastor I would be if I only talk about love, 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 love? Well, what kind of pastor would I be, fellas, if I don't warn you of your end? And some of you young people who are on the path of destruction. And some of you older ones too. and are pretending, I would have to be a faithful friend of the Lord. What kind of friend would I be if I don't warn you of the risks that you are taking, of the dangers of staying in the wilderness? What a friend I would be. I want to know. Incidentally, you and I ought to have this virtue of loyal friendship between the brethren. Hushai not only demonstrates the Christian's relationship to their Savior, but he demonstrates the brotherly relationship among God's people. Don't forget, David was also a man, a human. And sometimes we in this church are at loggerheads, like I said, live under a cloud of secrecy. Like I said, I don't need to know nobody's business. What are you doing? And it got to be shady if it is secretive. But Hushai was not only a loyal friend to David as king, he was loyal to him as a friend. And you and I should always seek the best for our friends. And friends do not betray each other's trust. Sometimes I tell you something in confidence, or sometimes I say something and in confidence, and the next minute you know I hear it 200 miles away. What is that? Hushai was sent back to Jerusalem to do an important task. He accomplished his mission. And you and I have a mission. Not to be in secret service. It's not our mission. As Hushai was. But our mission is being ambassadors for Christ. That's our mission. That's what our friend sent us to do. We're not in a secret service mission, brethren. 2 Corinthians 5:20, we'll look at that tonight. So, brethren, once again, the Lord has helped us to see the cohesiveness of the scriptures in redemptive history. The history that is meant to show us the gospel. We saw some practical implications born out of the scriptures. And I say this to say that there are only two kinds of people today here who are showing your loyalty. We see that they were showing your loyalty. So whenever you read the scriptures, brethren, always look for the broader aspect. What is this teaching? It's teaching us about Christ and who are friends of Christ and what friends of Christ would do. I trust that it ministered to you today, and I trust that the Lord has spoken to you today. Lord God, we see history unfolding in our eyes once more. We pray, O Lord, that you will give us the spiritual health and sensitivity to know when we see foolish counsel. We pray that we would adhere to the advice of a faithful friend. We sung the song, but we pray also that you will help us to understand your sovereignty and how you go about in doing things. We pray you will help us, O God, and we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.